talk. This nigga taxed out here. Volunteering to eat ass, my nigga. This nigga want to eat ass.
Cass out here with his wife. Feet and left her hold. He could have been lying.
Dear beloved, how you holding up? Whip still moving, we ain't slowing up. Wish you was right here rolling up. I got songs with Chris Brown, man, I'm blowing up. That fed case hit me like a car crash. But I still listen to your podcast. On the beat, they miss you in the streets. Who else gonna bring that heat like that interview with me? In the rape, still drinking Douce with the chase. Used to get that shit by the case. And the bevel, they calling you a devil. You went against the grain, you was more like a rebel. I know you waiting on that mail from me. Charlamagne said he helped me with the bail money. And that's a fact, you helped me out the trap. You got my deal for me, I ain't never looking back. Just wanna get you situated back. Even Wack said the situation whack. The Billy still beefing with the Max. I tried to swipe a fit, they ran a trap out of sacks. I guess they know my face now. Don't run, got me all over the place now. Break you out of jail, just give me one trap. This is how I sound when the thug cry. The lawyer know that you more wiser to ever turn Irving Plaza to the Gaza. Besides, you had the deals and endorsements. When I heard the news, I swear to God, man, I lost it. Pause this. I'm a Jay-Z, had a Rock Nation brunch, it was crazy. Caught a couple niggas off, niggas be shady. They never supported me, nigga, can you blame me? But I'm state to state, though. Your niggas showing love, but it's fake, though. Yeah, I know it's getting late, bro. But you already know, nigga, be safe, though.
What up, though? I Heart Miko Podcast, August 14th, 2017. Today is special for two reasons. There's two reasons today is so fucking special. One is Baller Wives premieres tonight, bitch. Yes, Ratchet Mondays returns. For those of you that don't know what Ratchet Mondays is, it started in Atlanta when my husband was playing for the Falcons. Me and my girlfriends used to get together every Monday. We would record all the reality shows that came on for the week. And we would pick a different girl's house to basically host Ratchet Mondays. You couldn't wear makeup. You couldn't be looking fly. You had to kind of look bummy as fuck. And we preferred pajamas, scarves, bonnets, all the ratchet you can bring. And we used to eat the most ratchet bullshit while we watched the shows. So that's how Ratchet Mondays started. And since I left Atlanta, I haven't been able to have a Ratchet Mondays with my girlfriends anymore. So shout out to VH1 for allowing a bitch to have another Ratchet Mondays. Baller Wives tonight, 10/9 Central on VH1. Tune the fuck in. Obviously, I can't say a whole bunch about the show, but... And I don't even fucking know how they're going to edit this shit. Like, this shit is different. This shit is different. I mean, I can't even speak on my experience right now because I don't want them to be hating and telling me not to tell y'all too much shit. But just know that I was myself and I'm always going to be my fucking self. So if VH1 don't show who I really am, fuck them too. Okay? But I was myself the entire time. I'm proud of how I represented Team Grimy. And I hope you guys are proud of me too. And if you're not, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck at all, okay? I did this reality show for the people that actually fuck with me. For the people that actually ride with me. So they can get a glimpse of my life off of social media. Not for you motherfuckers that's going to hate any motherfucking way. That's going to talk all your bullshit. I don't give a fuck. It ain't about you, nigga. It's about me. Tune the fuck in and enjoy the show. Now... The second reason that today is fucking epic is because it is my motherfucking nigga's birthday. That is right. Today is Taxstone's 32nd birthday. Shout out to my nigga Tax. I talked to him yesterday. This nigga called me and didn't even know that it was his birthday tomorrow. Like, he completely forgot. And I guess that's a jail thing. You know, you lose track of days. You don't keep up. And he didn't even really realize that today's his birthday, which was, you know, I was talking to him yesterday. And so, you know, I was like, happy early birthday. And he was just like, oh, shit, it is my birthday. Nigga said it like coming to America, that nigga said it on there. But anyway, happy birthday to my nigga. Let me just update you guys. I didn't record the conversation, obviously, because I'm in Fort Lauderdale having a premiere party tonight. I don't really want to say where it is. I don't want niggas just showing up. It's a private event, invite only. Don't try to show up. You will get rejected. But I'm in Fort Lauderdale to celebrate with my girls the show premiere. And so, you know, I was just talking to him about how things are going, and he is still the same nigga. He's still very happy, you know, as happy as can be for a nigga that's, you know, in his situation. But he also told me that he is teaching anger management classes at the jail, which I find very awesome and very fitting because, believe it or not, he does have control. People think he doesn't have control, but he does. You know, Tax has a lot of control. And I feel like he would be great at teaching that class because he knows what it's like to turn up on niggas and he knows what it's like to be able to control yourself. So I feel like he would be the perfect nigga to teach that. And so what he also told me he was trying to teach is he's trying to teach some Black history classes, which I think is dope as hell too. You know, I think that, you know, just doing some things, you know, out of the norm and keeping busy, staying focused on doing your time and getting the fuck out of there and staying out of trouble is the best thing for him to do, because I don't want anybody to have him turning up or, you know, coming at him crazy, because we all know, you know what I'm saying, you can only poke him but so many times that nigga gonna slice your ass. So I'm happy that my nigga is constructive in this situation. I'm happy that he's happy. Every time I talk to him, he doesn't ever sound down or sad or anything. He's positive. He's confident. And I love that about him. I just love it. I don't have to uplift him when I talk to him. I don't have to at all. This nigga be uplifting me. You know, and so he told me he saw the commercials for the show or whatever, and he said the question he's getting the most from all the guys in jail is, what am I, do my tits look that good in person? He said, that's the question he's getting the most. Yo, Tax, is Miko's titties that fly in person? And this, of course, Tax is saying yes, because he's a titty man. So if you guys, you ladies want to, you know what I'm saying, show my nigga some love, please send him some pictures. It's his birthday. Nothing nude, because the guards and them is going to take him and beat off to him. So please send him bikini pics, lots of titty hanging out, no nipples, so he can get the picture. Show my nigga some love. And for all the fellas, you know what I'm saying, just write my nigga, send him a letter, tell him, you know what I'm saying, if you fucking with him, you know what I'm saying, just show my nigga some love. He loves reading all the letters from you guys and hearing from you and seeing that the streets is still fucking with him. You know what I'm saying, I don't talk to him about you corny niggas that be talking shit and hating while he down. I don't never tell him about you bitch ass niggas. You niggas will never get any energy on our phone calls, you pussies. But anyways, back to the subject. Write my nigga, send my nigga some pictures, show him some love. Today's his birthday. This episode is dedicated to my nigga Tax. Happy birthday. Free the stone, my nigga.
I'm gonna apologize now if I start sounding crazy, because last night was too epic. I had an early birthday turn up and surprise. Some of my friends surprised me with a birthday party last night at the office. So I'm in here like on just sheer will and just sheer will, realness. Real niggas.
It's
happening
out
right now. Who you're hearing right now is my guest today, Mr. Julius Jones. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So I'm glad, I interview a lot of players. I interview wives. I interview, you know, family members and a lot of people. So I'm actually glad that I have a running back on. I've had one other running back on. I'm sure you know who Steven Jackson is.
Yeah.
So I've had him on, and I really, really love interviewing running backs, because I just feel like you guys, in my opinion, because it might not be true, but you guys were the beginning to me as far as football is concerned, like kind of how the game really turned into what it is. It was the running back.
Right. Correct.
You know, the quarterback wasn't the man. It was the running back.
Right.
And now it seems that the league's kind of pushing you guys out a little bit.
Absolutely.
The position is almost extinct little bit. And it's almost like people will just throw in any running back because you really just want to throw the ball anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You 100% correct on that. I felt like at the end of my career, you know, the running back position had really, you know, diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is constantly changing. And right now, you know, the receivers and quarterbacks and, you know, it's a pass-happy league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that seems to be exciting. And, you know, the running back position is more expendable.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you can just throw anybody in there and get the job done. So I like to see, you know, the Marshawn Lynches back in the game and the Le'Veon Bells and these guys who are, you know, really fantastic running backs that can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Bring our job back.
Right.
Bring our job back. Our job is important.
Yeah, it's very important. You know, it's kind of like the nucleus of how, for me, when I first started watching, was all about handing the football off to the big, strong, fast running back who was busting through the line, making plays. Like, that's the grit and grind of the
NFL.
Football. Yeah, that's
football.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go back a little bit to where you grew up. You're from Virginia?
I'm from Southern Virginia, Southwest Virginia, not West Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
Yes, because, you know, people North Dakota and South Dakota. People are like, no.
Yeah.
Virginia, not the West Virginia.
Right, nothing against West Virginia, but I am from
Virginia.
VA.
So were you always a football fan? Did you know you were going to play in the NFL or did you want to growing up?
Well, me growing up in my hometown, I wanted, to be honest with you, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh.
That's what I wanted to
really?
Be. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to be. And then, you know, I got a little older and figured out that it's a little bit too much school for me.
It's not your move.
It's not my thing. So for me, football was, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoyed it. And then, you know, I became, you know, pretty good at it. And I saw like a career and the opportunity to go to college. You know, I'm from a family of seven. I have five sisters and a brother. And, you know, from a small town,
seven.
Both my parents were coal miners.
Where do you fit in the seven?
I am number five. I have a twin sister, two older sisters, an older brother, and two younger sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a family of technically seven, but two of them were twins, and they passed away. Like, my mother couldn't.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. They were before me.
Yeah.
But I think there was complications with, you know, carrying them. My mother was a little small, but there's five of us, and I'm in the middle.
Okay.
So I feel you, like on the big family, everything's shared.
Yeah,
everything's handed down.
Nope. It's zero privacy.
Yes, zero.
Zero.
Even in the bathroom. Even in the bathroom. Zero privacy.
So
oh,
you become
my God.
Comfortable being yourself around people. And
okay.
I feel that from you. So, a family of seven. And the reality of it is, you know, everybody's not going to, you know, be able to afford to go to college.
Right.
So, you know, if it came down to me and my twin sister, you know, we were both graduating at the same time, obviously. If my parents had the money, then, you know, I would tell my sister, you go, and I'll figure it out. So for me, football was like, you know, my education, like, you know,
a
way for me to further my life.
A lot of black youth,
absolutely.
You know, male and female, you know, we're in our neighborhoods, we don't see astronauts.
No.
You had that dream, but we don't see them.
Yeah.
And we don't see the lane and the vision. No one's there to say, this is how you become an astronaut.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that are like, here's how you become a professional athlete.
Right.
Here's how you become a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the careers that we generally take because it is an easier route for us. We, you know, people hate to say this, but black people are just more athletic than everybody else. That's just what it is. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happens when you breed slaves. You know, this is what we've come to, and now this is our strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that our people take advantage of that because that is, you know, an advantage.
Right.
You know, but I do wish there were more astronauts and scientists
Absolutely.
And people that, you know, can guide our youth in other directions because everybody can't make the NFL.
Everybody can't make
it. It's only 300 and something spots, you know?
And the reality of it is, again, you know, football and sports only is, you know, it's a tiny bit
piece of your life.
That's
yeah.
it. And your father, your husband, your a wife, your whatever you
and
are.
And you might be retired.
Before that. For whatever you are, you're that person a lot longer than you are an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. Yeah. You are preaching. Let me tell you something, because this one of the things that bother me on social media is when fans say things like, this is your life. You should want to die for this. You shouldn't like, no. This is your life, my nigga.
No,
like, this is a piece of my life. This is how I'm going to hopefully provide for my family for the future.
Right.
But you know what I mean? It's like they don't get that
they
it's
don't.
Over fast.
They don't understand it because, you know, first of all, they're a fan and, you know, it's a job.
Yes.
It might seem like entertainment for a fan, but, you know, for me, it was my job. And I took it very seriously and I had to approach it like a job. If I did not, then I wouldn't have lasted the amount of years that I lasted.
Mm-hmm.
So with any sports in general, you know, you have to treat it as a job.
Right.
And you have to get what you can get when you can get it.
Yes.
And that's not being greedy. It's not being selfish. It's being
business.
A business person.
It's business. Same as the owners. Yeah. They're going to get more out of you
right.
than you give them. And they want to get their money's worth. And you trying to, it's a game and
yeah.
it's a business and everybody's playing the game and, right. And everybody knows that they're playing the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And may the best player win.
May the best player win. Of course you want to stay with the same team. When I went
yeah.
to Dallas, I'm like, I'm never leaving. Like, this is Dallas.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm here.
Like, he was on it.
Yeah, then 4 years later, I'm gone.
How did you feel? I did a little research
yeah.
on, you know, your story in Dallas.
Yeah.
And it looked a little shady. Did you feel like there was a little shade
happening?
I felt
there was a little bit.
Tell me about it, because I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear what I read yeah. in the media, because
yeah.
that's sometimes
See,
bullshit.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Let me hear from the horse's mouth.
So my career in Dallas was, I felt it was great.
Uh-huh.
You know, I saw myself retiring there, you know, being a cowboy for life. But, you know, I quickly realized that, you know, business is business. You
right.
know what I mean? And I didn't want to leave. I wasn't offered what I thought, you know, I was worth.
Respected. Yeah.
You know, I have a great respect for the Cowboys and in the organization still. Jerry and, you know, his sons were always good to me. But, you know, business is business, and, mm-hmm. and it was a business transaction. And, you know, I left there not on the best terms that I wanted to leave. And I took a job in Seattle, and, you know, I didn't look back.
Didn't look back. Well, you know what? This is your life.
Yeah.
This is your career. You have to make your own decisions, because at the end of the day, you're the only person that has to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have stayed and dealt with it, or, you know, the way you left, if it were the wrong decision and you listened to someone else, then you'd be
right.
like, oh,
right.
like I should listen to myself.
Absolutely.
So if you make a mistake, or even if it's a win,
mm-hmm.
it's all based on how you feel and what you decided to do, not what somebody else told you to do. I was always trying to tell, you know, my friends, like, listen to everybody's advice. Let your friends talk to you, tell you, you know what I'm saying, what they think. But at the end of the day, you make the decision, because it's your life and
right.
you're the only person living it.
And you're right about that. And there's one decision that I made during my career that I look back on now, and, you know, it's affected me now, today.
Okay.
I changed my agency. I was with IMG.
Okay.
Formerly IMG, but now they are CAA.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was with them, you know, right out of college, and, you know, those were my guys. You know, I had, you know, making money with them off the field. I was actually making more money off the field than
mm-hmm.
I was on the field.
Yes.
So, you know, my brother was also a, you know, football player.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Some of my friends, is he single?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, so,
it's a line. It's a list. When I said I was interviewing you, several of my friends
yeah.
asked about your brother.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
They may have a shot. I don't know. They may have a shot. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, I left that agency to, you know, go with a different agency that my brother was with.
Okay.
And I regret it today.
Oh, you know
yeah.
what? I wasn't hoping you were going to say that.
I'm telling
but
you.
My husband is signed with CAA.
I
actually made him leave his agency to sign with them.
Say, now you know what
yes.
they bring.
Yes, I know what they bring.
It's top.
Top of the line. Everything
yeah.
is right on it.
Everything.
They check these owners, like the GMs.
This
they
is,
on top of
is,
everything.
This
yeah.
is my plug for them. This is
Yes, I'm gonna have to make some calls for you.
Room for me. Let me back in.
I'm in good with them.
Let me back in.
With CAA. Yes. Okay. So you know what? Do you have any decisions, football decisions that you regret? Anything? Any movements? Because I know you also played for the Saints, right?
Yeah. The Saints for me. Well, I was ready to be done with football when I was in Seattle. Like when I left Dallas to go to Seattle, I was expecting a different situation than I got. We had three different head coaches,
two different general managers.
I mean, it was a mess. And, you know, the organization is where it is now because they're stable.
Mm-hmm.
And the organization is what it was when I decided to go there because it was stable then. But those 3 years I was there was just completely unstable, and it was a mess, and we weren't very good. I'm like, you know what? This is
sweat.
Yeah. This is not why I came all the way up to the greater Northwest.
Right.
You know, I'm not a hiker. I mean, I'd like to look at it, but you know,
you don't want
to
be there.
No, it rains every day up there too.
Exactly. Jesus.
So, that was a situation for me. You know, I don't regret it. I don't regret it, but I wish it was a little bit more stable.
Okay.
Because there were other offers on the table. I could have stayed in Dallas.
Took less money.
You know, just was like,
I'm gonna go get this deal over here.
You know what? When you're young and you got pride and you're like, you know,
fuck
this
y'all.
Is, yeah, this is
y-
my
y'all don't
shit.
Want to pay me what yeah. I want, what I'm worth, and I'm going over here to right. Seattle, and I hope I play y'all.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And it's all about the pride thing and being a young player and not just wanting to collect a check.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but wanting to contribute, wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah, I want to play. Like, I'm playing this game to play. Like, I just don't want a check. I mean, checks are good, but, you know, when you're young, you want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You want to be that man.
Yeah.
Mama, there goes that man.
So were you splitting snaps and everything Seattle too? Like, there was another running back there. I forget his name, but
we had
it was a camp battle. Was it a fake camp battle?
Yeah,
you know,
was,
the stuff they do.
It was Morris.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot his first name, but it was Morris.
Yeah, I mean, look, competition is competition.
Right.
And when guys are competing, they're not mad at each other. Like, everybody wants to have the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a professional athlete, you know, you're going to compete at the highest level.
Right.
At the highest level. So you can't be offended with the other guy wanting a job. It's what he's there for, too.
You guys are both trying to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're going
and you're
going
to eat together. Whoever gets the starting job,
right.
You're still going to work with him. You guys still have to do things together
right.
as a team. And,
right.
and, you know, I'm sure you guys were, you know, alternating and stuff. So you have to have a relationship and a brotherhood, too. You're,
right.
you're on the same team.
You understand
know?
It. You understand.
Definitely.
I'm sure your husband talks to you about it all the time. Like, you're not looking to see this guy fail. Like, this is your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys are competing every day together and helping each other out.
Right.
And it's really the outside influences that try to bring
the negativity and the drama and make
it.
You guys not a unit.
That's it. That's
yeah.
it.
That's cool. Well, you know, I wanted to, I have a, I'm not going to say I have a, I talk a lot about, you know, the NFL and some of the negative things, you know, around the league and, people don't really like that. They don't like the truth.
Right.
That's what it is. People don't like the truth. And so I just want to know if I can have a real truthful conversation with you about some things that took place, that take place in the NFL.
Absolutely. First of all, I want to say I appreciate your honesty. I really
okay.
do. I've looked
Thank
some
you.
Things up and you know, you're right. People don't really like mm-hmm. to hear the truth.
They don't.
They don't like to hear
they
it.
They don't like it. You know, yeah. and I've been telling the truth for a long time, but I did it with, you know, grammatically correct, no cuss words, proper, and no one was listening.
Yeah.
So then I just add a little bit of bullshit to it, and now
and then you're heard. Yeah.
So they're like,
it's
"Why
a shame.
Do you, why
it's
do
a
you
shame
keep
you
cussing?
Gotta,
I have to get your attention.
Yeah.
Like I gotta get it. I gotta tell you what I want to say in order for me to get the attention of the media and the people that I want. I gotta turn up a little bit.
Absolutely. I say the same thing to my kids. Do I really gotta slam this pencil down and like make noise for you to like turn around and listen to me? Can I just say it nicely?
You can't
pick that up.
Sometimes people need you to yell and fuss and cuss and you know act the fool, so they'll be like, "Oh shit, you're serious." You know what I mean?
Right.
So I talk, you know, I have my husband. He kind of co-hosts with me sometimes on the show. He's in mini camp right now, but he co-hosts with me, and we had a discussion about Giselle, Tom Brady's wife. You know, saying talking about the multiple concussions he's had, and when he comes home, and what she has to deal with, and what people don't understand, and what she didn't know is that Tom Brady has never registered a concussion.
Really?
I think maybe once, and it was 2008.
Wow.
So that was crazy because then people were like, well, wait a minute. People can actually look up and see how many concussions has Tom Brady had, because they're supposed to be tracking that because it's a thing now.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's important.
And so when she said that, people were like, oh, well, she must be lying because he hasn't said he's had a concussion. Why would his wife lie about a concussion?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're a running back.
Mm-hmm.
My God. You guys, people say football is a contact sport. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collision
Absolutely.
Sport.
Every
you collide
play.
With people every single play.
Yeah.
You do not get helmet-to-helmet flags for running.
For running backs?
Yes.
No.
You guys don't get that
no.
at all. A,
no.
a receiver, if you bang helmets, you know, a tight end, but a running back, you guys are they are allowed to crack your egg.
Oh, absolutely. And guess what? If we put our head down and hit with our head first, then we get a flag.
You get a flag.
Yeah, the running back.
What do you? How do you feel
it's
about
not,
that?
It's not the easiest job. I mean, that's a little bullshit, you know. But running back is not the easiest job. Like, I have two boys.
Oh
and,
my God! Are they playing football?
No,
won't
no,
do
I won't
it.
Let them. I
won't
let
do
them.
It. Won't he do it? Yeah,
I won't let them. I won't let them. And my oldest son is like, he's adamant about playing. He's 9
How
years old
is he? 9.
Yeah,
he's in Pop Warner.
He
wants to be in.
Yeah, I let him play flag for the first time. Me and my
okay.
wife.
Okay,
and. You know, of course, he's talented and all that stuff, but You know, I'm just pushing him in a different direction, trying to. I'm not that father that, you know, is living vicariously through my son's football. I'm not. It's not me.
That's nasty.
And I tell him, look, be the doctor who takes care of the guys on the field.
That's who gets paid a lot. That's who's safe.
And that job will be a lot long, will last you a lot longer than the football.
And there's way more positions. You know, in football, there's only 300 and something. It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
If you don't have it. You know, there's a lot of guys that have it, but you have to have it, you have to have timing, you have to have luck.
Yeah.
You know, all the things have to line up in order for you to, you know, you can get to this league, but to be successful, you know, everything has a lineup because there's a lot of successful people.
Absolutely.
So my husband and I, we were having that conversation, you know, about Giselle and her situation. And so I asked him, you know, how many concussions have you had? And he said zero. He's a corner.
Yeah.
But he's still, he lying. He's lying on my airways. You know what I'm saying? I don't play that shit.
I watched
he lying.
I watched your husband play. He's a physical tackler. Yeah. So he's been mixing it up.
Yes, and I've seen it. Yeah. And he's you know, what is it about players? Why don't you guys want to say I got dinged. Like, something ain't right. I've lost consciousness for a few seconds. Why don't you want to stop and say, this could damage me forever?
Right. Well, I sympathize with your husband because he's still playing.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he wants to be on the field.
Yes.
You know, you gotta be on the field. And because there's somebody, two or three guys behind you that want what you got.
Want your spot, yeah.
So, of course, you know, he's got to be on the field. Me, I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of times where I've been dinged up and, you know, can't see straight and just fake my way through it. Fake my way through it because I don't want to come off the field because I know there's two or three guys behind me that want my job.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do whatever I have to do to stay on the field. And I think a lot of guys do that. I mean, if you sit and talk to, you know, 9 out of 10 guys, they'll tell you the same thing. Maybe 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I got to be on the field because somebody else wants my job. So whatever you got to do to be on the field is what you got to do. And they want you on the field, too.
Yeah, and see, I feel the NFL contributes to this poor behavior because in all actuality, you guys should be checked out. You know what I mean? There should be something done. And the NFL, you know, has this rule, and I'm sure you've heard it. Are you a player or are you a patient? And if you become a patient too many times, they send you on your way because there is someone younger, faster, and cheaper coming right in behind. Every year there's a draft.
Yeah.
And that's a threat to you guys, and I feel like it makes you guys accept concussions and hide them and not get help, which in long term, you know, is bad for your family, you know, for your children. Like, people
it's
don't realize
normal.
What happens when you actually have a concussion in the long term. But I hate it because I just feel like it's unfair because you guys are never going to want to lose your job. You're not going to just be like, you know what? I got a concussion. I'm going to sit down. No, go ahead, Morris.
Go ahead, coach.
All the snaps.
I'm not going to say I can't go, coach.
Yeah, you're not going to say. And the league knows that.
Yeah.
And the coaches know that. Everyone knows that. And no one cares about you guys. Does it feel like that?
It felt like that at times. You know, but the trainers have a job.
Their job is to get you on the field, not make sure you're okay, but to get you back on the field and ready to play on Sunday.
Now, you'll find, you know, I was fortunate to have a couple that, you know, that really cared. But at the end of the day, even though they care, their job is to get him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they make their money and support their family. So if they don't get you on the field, then
they lose their job.
They lose their job. So it's a vicious cycle, and people are just trying to look out for themselves at the end of the day, like everybody is. And, you know, the player is stuck at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. At the bottom. Yes. How many concussions do you think you've had?
Registered a couple, but
in real
realistically,
life.
Say at least 20, 25.
Oh, my God.
At least.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, my kids, they don't even know that. They'll hear it now, but... You know, that's a lot. And
that's
not
a
normal.
Lot.
Football is not a normal job. It's not a normal 9-to-5 where you go and you know, sit in the office or you're outside or whatever you do. You're banging head to head every single day.
Yeah.
And the more violent person, the person who's more violent wins.
Yeah.
So
and who can stand through it.
Yeah.
And you know, and deal with it and keep coming back every year.
And I'm not complaining about it, but it's because I signed up for it. Mm-hmm. But that is the job. That's right. The job. And that's the job that I don't want my children involved with. Now, football has been very kind for me and my family. You know, it's afforded us a lot of good things and a lot of opportunities. But as far as watching my children, I can't, like, I know what they're going through every single day.
You know. You experienced it.
There's plenty of guys who don't even make it from practice to the game.
Yeah. Because practice is a collision. That's what I'm like. You guys are colliding every day. It's like, it's really like a train wreck.
It is. It is. And it's a violent gladiator type sport. And that's what the people like.
Yeah.
They like the hard hits. They like the helmets
crunch,
coming off.
The crunch,
they like the sound
the blood.
Of it. Right. And that's the game.
That's the game. Now, right now, because the generations beforehand, where they were making no money, they started this shit.
Yeah.
This gridiron. Yeah, they were getting nothing. Yeah, they were going to work after the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At Montgomery Ward and all types of shit. Going to work and, you know, making less than the people that are watching them. And now the game has completely evolved. You guys are making so much money and able to make more money off the field. Now that you guys are seeing the effects of concussions from past players, the suicides, the spousal abuse, you know, the just going crazy out in public, all these things. And now you're saying things like, my kid's not playing.
Oh, no.
Me and my husband are saying things like, my kid isn't playing. What do you think that means for the NFL's future, for the league's future?
I think the league, you know, the league will be the league. You know, they make a lot of money. And, you know, this we talked about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football, like football for me, was a way out. A way for an education, a way for me to further my life, better my life.
And provide. Right.
So there's always that kid out there who's in the same position. So the league, you know, they're not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
Damn.
Because I know. You know, and I loved playing. You know, I was good at it. But now that I've stepped away and I've been away from it for so long, I can see it for what it is. And I just can't have my kids involved in football right now. Now, when they get older, they can make their own decisions. Before, as far as right now, it's not even an option.
Yeah, I've posted a couple of videos from Pop Warner games of these coaches having the Oklahoma drill with children.
Yeah.
Poor tackling, poor execution, poor skill, and these kids are having spinal injuries, brain injuries.
It's not fair to the kid.
Yeah, why are these coaches and these things allowed at such a young age when we have the information and we know how to properly tackle, you know, and how to try to avoid the head? Like, why do you think that people are overlooking these things happening to their own children? You think it's just because they want a way out as well? Like, they're like, you know what, this at some point they're going to make it to the NFL, to the league?
Yeah, there's at the end of the pot, rainbow, that's the pot is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you get a lot of parents who push their kids in to playing the sports because they might benefit from it at the end. You know what I'm saying? And that's sad, but
and
that's true.
Not looking at
the health of them. Of course, the everybody
term.
Loves their child. And, you know, it's easy for me to say it because I've been there before and I've done it. You know, most of the parents who are pushing their kids into playing football, they didn't make it. They might have played in high school, but they didn't play in practice in college every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Play and practice in the NFL every single day for 7 years like I did. Or how many years has Brent been playing?
12. This is year 12.
I mean, come on. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So, I mean, he can sit back and talk about it. I can sit back and talk about it because we've been through it and we know what it takes and what it feels like and what you've seen it.
Yeah.
How your husband comes back from home from a game.
Yeah.
It's brutal in the next day. You know what I'm saying? So the parents don't see this at the highest level of you know,
performing.
They don't see
they
that.
They see the low level. They don't realize, like, these guys are going to get bigger and bigger.
Absolutely.
As you continue to grow.
Absolutely.
In
and
this
the guys
sport.
Kept getting bigger and bigger, and I didn't. So,
hey, but you're still big. Like, you're a running back. You look like you could go right now.
I keep it in shape.
You
I
got
keep it
to.
In shape. Yeah.
You have to. Yeah. Like, if I feel like the only guys in sports, especially football, that are allowed to still be fat are the linemen. Like, that's it, right?
That's it.
You guys can get fat. Maybe the quarterback, if he was dope.
Yeah.
If he was dope, he can get, like, a ball of belly
but
a little
linemen,
bit.
But the linemen, they keep it as is.
Yeah, the rest of y'all supposed to still maintain.
No excuse.
No excuse. You
no
know
excuse.
How to train. You
Absolutely.
Know what you're supposed
you
to look
know
like.
Know the recipe.
Yes, you've right? been there. Yeah. You don't have to be ready to go, but you got to look like you are.
Right.
Right. Everything needs to look right.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes. So tell me a little bit about your personal life. I heard you say you were married.
Yeah.
What's your wife's name?
My wife is Kelly. She is from, we've been married 10 years.
Oh.
She is from South Philadelphia.
Oh, my husband's from North Philly.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, so yeah.
He's from the dirty part. I don't know if she's from the dirty part.
South Philly, there's a lot of characters in South Philly. But South
but
Philly,
is it dirty? Might not be.
Philadelphia? Is that what they call it?
Realadelphia is what he calls it.
Yeah, Realadelphia? Okay, yeah. I love Philly, but yeah, my wife is from South Philly. She's Italian from South Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys have two children.
Two boys.
And what's their names?
Julius and Andre.
Okay.
Yeah,
two, how old? The one's nine, and how's the other one?
The other one's seven.
Seven.
Yeah. So they are involved in baseball and which
baseball
soccer.
Is the
baseball's
way.
Baseball.
That's the way.
Baseball.
That is the way.
Baseball.
You know why I like baseball? Because it's not our sport. That's first. So they don't test for like weed and stuff that really should be legal in the NFL.
Anyway.
You know what I'm saying? These sports. And it's like all the money's guaranteed.
Guaranteed. You just hit it right there. Guaranteed.
It's guaranteed money. Yeah. And is there even a salary cap? Like,
It doesn't seem like there is.
I mean,
the guys are getting paid $300 million.
Yeah,
I mean, you know 10 years.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's the way to go.
Yeah.
That is the way to go. I gotta rewind back. I gotta come on back to something. Something just came up in my head. What is your opinion on marijuana in sports?
Well, it's legal now in
lots of states.
Lots of states.
But so, in sports, it is not.
It's not.
So, like, if you play for the Broncos, just because it's legal in Denver, you get tested from April 20th to August 20th, you test positive, you're in trouble.
Right.
Even though it's legal.
Right.
What is your opinion of that?
It's tough. It's tough because, you know, the work environment is different from, I guess, the regular environment, reality. Mm-hmm. You know, certain work environments have certain rules. It's tough. It's tough because
but
it's legal.
If any sport should be able to smoke a fucking joint, it should be football players. Am I right?
After a game? After a game,
the sport that really needs it
a little bit,
to unwind. People don't know the medicinal, you know.
Well, here's
benefits.
Here's what I compare it to. So, after a game, and you're banged up, and you've been through it, and you know the team doctor or whoever gives you a
bag of pills.
Yeah. What's the difference in the bag of pills, and then?
You know what the difference is? The bag of pills kill people, millions of people every year, and weed doesn't kill anyone. However.
Go.
Weed keeps black people in jail. And the NFL and those billionaires and the jail billionaires, you can't be fucking with our billions. We need these billions. You see what I mean? So if they're allowing the athletes who are considered the number one sport in America, in our country, to smoke a joint and say, this is okay, this will actually help them, that contradicts everything that's being said about marijuana, you know, in the streets, that we're going to jail for it.
Right.
You know, if you smoke it, you're a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Like, what is opioid? What is that? Is that
it's
a drug?
It's a perception. Like what you were saying, it's a perception of, you know, if you do smoke, then you're an addict or you got a problem.
But no one has a problem with you guys popping pills in your mouth after the game.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah,
why is this happening?
It is. It is. If you sit and think about it, and these are things that need to be talked about. And that's why I respect you, because you bring these topics to the table and you're not afraid to say what you feel, and you say it how you say it. And people, you know, I think a lot more people respect it than those who don't. Just to let you know.
I feel like I feel like I'm gaining lots of respect from people. It's coming. It's because of fact. It's because you can't argue with facts.
You came out hard.
Yes,
in the beginning.
I was aggressive.
You came out hard.
I was mad. You know why? Because I just feel like people don't listen to me because I'm a female.
Right.
You know, I started off commentating and calling basketball games. I played professional basketball, believe it or not.
You did.
7 years, yes. But I have a passion for football. My family members played football. And so I've always been a football girl. And so when I got the opportunity to cover football, I started to do it. And then people were just like, oh, you're a girl. You don't know anything about football. And I said, yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you don't know anything about concussions. I do, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know anything about weed. I actually smoke it every fucking day. I've been smoking weed since I was 13 years old. I am not an addict.
There you go.
13. I can walk away from.
You got your own
radio
show.
Yes, doing my own. Yeah,
with your husband. You've been married. I mean, come on.
Even when I met him, he was just like against me. He was just like so against it, and I had to educate him.
Yeah.
And through educate, it took me years to get Brent Grimes to be okay with me smoking a joint.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know,
understand
but I respected him, and I would do it outside and stay away from him and stuff. But as I continued to educate him, not just the recreational, the fun high,
right.
but the medicinal part of it, and he was just like, "Oh my God, all these years you've been telling me this, and I never knew it." And he was just like, "I don't know why this information isn't out here.
It should be out there.
It should be out there.
It should be out. You should be educated on everything.
Yeah.
Everyone has an should have the opportunity to be educated on marijuana, on opioids, on prescription drugs, mm-hmm. all that stuff. It's just be educated and then you make your own decision. But, you know, a lot of the times, you know, it's one person or two people or this is bad. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's your opinion. Do mm-hmm. give me a valid reason why this is bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So just be
and
educated.
They don't have anything.
Right.
It's just no, I just it's bad. No.
As people, this is, you know, we just got to be more educated on a lot of different things these days. And, you know, everything's just okay.
Fine.
Everything's just okay
it's
now.
Fine. You know what I mean? Black people are dying. It's fine.
Everything's okay. It's not okay.
It's
you know
not.
You know what I'm saying? It's
shit
not.
Is not okay.
No. So where's your husband right now? Is he?
Mini camp.
Oh, man.
Do you remember mini camp? The mini dumbest camp. Shit ever, right?
Nightmare.
72 hours away.
A nightmare.
Why do you need mini camp?
They just need to see you. You got to be there. Come. They need to see you. They want to see you. What kind of shape you're in.
But you're a grown ass man.
I know.
You're an adult.
I know.
Why do you have to put tabs on a grown ass man?
It's crazy. Scheduled here, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
11
you
o'clock.
You guys. It's like you guys
lunch,
have. You don't know what break. To do. Go to the bathroom at this time. Then you got to do number two. Then you get this break. Then you're gonna eat at this time.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna do film. And then you're gonna take a nap.
Everything.
Like everything is itemized. Like
almost
like.
In,
almost the military.
Yes, institutionalized.
Yes,
so I'll
prison.
Be honest, I'll be
prison,
honest with you. Yeah.
Slavery.
Yeah.
It's all wrapped up into it.
I had a difficult, I had other things going on besides football, but once I retired and I didn't have that schedule in front of me,
mm-hmm.
I had to figure out, okay, I'm supposed to be doing this at this time, and that's not happening. It takes a while to figure out. Like
get out of that routine and figure out your own routine.
Absolutely. From college and you know, now in high school, it's starting even earlier now.
Mm-hmm.
The itineraries are there. And then you go to college and then you go to NFL. And then if you don't make the itinerary, if you're late, you're fine.
Fine. That my husband, $5,000.
Oh, yeah. I've been
$5,000 for 1 minute late.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why when people are always like, oh, you got, you know, when there was a bunch of issues with the way guys talk and argue and fight and do things at work. And mm-hmm. people are like, you know, you shouldn't be able to just hit somebody at work. Or you should be, well, you know what you also shouldn't be able to do is fine somebody $5,000 for being a minute
that's
late.
Tough.
So football is a different life. Like, it's not like your regular
it's
job.
Not.
There's no HR.
It's not.
Can you go to HR and
no.
say, so-and-so smack me in the back of the
no.
head?
Like, no.
like
you
can't
do that.
You can't do that.
You get fired.
Yeah. You know, and people want to make it like it's a regular job, but then tell you
it's not a regular job
yes,
at all. There's
at
nothing
all.
Normal about
nothing.
It at all. You know,
nothing.
But we sign up for it. It's not a normal job. It's not a normal environment. You know, like I said before, your physical contact every single day, all day, is not a normal job. So, you know, the fans really they only see Sunday
mm-hmm.
and what's reported. You know, and there's a lot of outlets right now that report on what
lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lies.
Pretty much.
Do you think that a part of the reason that you guys have this strict structured routine is because a lot of people are walking around with CTE?
CTE is like, it's legit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's always been around, but now, you know, we know better. We're seeing
there's
it.
There's a spotlight on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's a spotlight, and there should be because mm-hmm. it's a real issue. And, you know, too many people are, you know, dying. And then as a result of these concussions,
mm-hmm.
You know, good buddy of mine, he's Crowder. You probably know him. He's had at least 30.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that.
I almost got out of my professional element
man,
just
I'm
there.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Pardon
Crowder.
Me. Let me sip real
let
quick.
Me sip too.
Let me sip.
I'm going to take a quick smoke break and allow Blue Apron to entertain you. Be right back. Ever heard of Blue Apron? Of course you have, since it's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Now, everybody knows that my husband is in training camp right now. So he's, you know, subjected to eating whatever they provide or whatever I bring him. But at home, we still eat Blue Apron every fucking week. Let me tell you, I get Blue Apron every week because I get tired of going to the grocery store, and I always forget something anyway. Like, I always forget something, but with Blue Apron, nothing's forgotten. Every single ingredient is right there, measured out. All you gotta do is cook it. And when you talk about cooking it, you're talking about cooking the freshest ingredients. That is the most important thing about eating, especially in 2017, where we don't even really know what we're eating low-key. But Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farmers, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States, and they're giving us quality food. It's quality, people. That's why I love Blue Apron. There's no reason that we should be eating all the BS that we're eating right now when Blue Apron is offering us quality meals that we can cook together with our families for $10 or less. Like, you cannot get a quality meal for $10 or less anywhere. I don't really know anywhere. If you know somewhere, let me know, but it's really not happening. And all you gotta do is cook the food. It's awesome. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, so I'm not even concerned. I already know that my son and my mother-in-law, who are still home, are going to get quality food while the chef of the house is gone. And let me tell you about some of the upcoming meals that Blue Apron has for this end of summer kickoff. So they have basil pesto chicken with summer vegetables. They have sauteed shrimp and green beans with globe tomatoes, spinach, and orzo pasta. Whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad. Miso butter, salmon, and lo mein noodles with cucumber and charmed tomatoes. Meatball pizza with fresh mozzarella cheese and charmed tomatoes. Now, you guys know I don't eat any dairy. I occasionally eat some meat. All these meals, you can swap out dairy. You can swap out the cheese. You can swap out any of this stuff if you don't eat dairy or even if you don't eat meat. Some of these things don't require meat. Listen, if you want to eat right and you want to save time and you want it to be fresh and have a very nice meal with your family, try Blue Apron. You will not regret it. And check out this week's menus and get your first three meals for free with free shipping. Free shipping. Okay, major key, by going to blueapron.com/Miko. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/Miko. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I can't believe Crowder's had like 40.
Yeah, he's 35 to 40 concussions. I mean.
That's too much.
That's a lot.
That might be why we have beef.
Yeah, I didn't know you had beef.
Beef.
If you don't mind me asking.
I'm going to keep it real with you. Yeah. You know, we were at the same radio station here. Okay. And my show was, I started off just as a coming on, popping in on people's shows because they wanted to see if I had it, basically, because I came from a basketball world in Atlanta. And I covered Atlanta as well, but I covered the basketball team more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I covered football as well. And so they were like, well, let's see you in some spots here and there for the radio. Cool. Mm-hmm. Then it was like I was a co-host with Omar Kelly on his show. Then they turned into the Omar and Miko show. Then it was my show. Like, I was running. I was leading the show.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Then they started telling me they're going to start working me in during the weekday shows. They were trying to find a spot for me during the week. Crowder is on the radio talking shit about me, saying he doesn't think that I should be talking about football, specifically Miami, because my husband plays there. And he feels like it's a conflict of interest, and he also feels just women, period, just shouldn't be talking about it. I didn't play. Oh. You see what I mean? Little stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then what he didn't realize is I made some really good friends at that radio station, and he would talk about me off the air, say, you know, guys, conversation, you know, locker room talk. But what he doesn't understand is I'm gonna check you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I find it disrespectful.
So you came at him?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't?
I don't check men unless my man is present.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to even think that I'm gonna do it the right way. I'm not gonna be disrespectful to you, but I feel like there's certain things that shouldn't be addressed at a woman mm-hmm. with if her man is not present.
So it's a conversation, and it's
we really need to have a conversation.
Asking him why.
Why? You know, and he said a lot of slick shit, you know, and I've never said anything about him. And what ended up happening is he got fired. They let him go mm-hmm. and they were moving me into that spot. I got arrested the next week.
Oh.
And they brought him back to his job.
That's deep.
I feel like he saw me coming for his job.
That's deep.
And he was talking shit about me.
There's definitely a conversation in these.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, you know, me and his wife, she's always trying to be friends with me. And I would never befriend her for a couple years now. I would not be her friend. Yeah. And then she finally talked to me and she was like, why? I feel like there's like a resistance with you. I'm trying to be your friend, you know, and everything. And I'm like, Asia, we can't be friends. And she's like, why? And I said, I don't like your husband. Yeah. I feel like I can't be your friend if
you can't be fake.
I'm talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Your yeah. husband
you
talking
don't strike
shit about
me. Anything about you.
Yeah, and I'm just being real with her. Yeah. I said, y'all have said some wild, disrespectful shit about your man in reaction to some of the things he said. And if you find out those things, you might not want to be my friend. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, well, why would you say those things? And I said, do you know what your husband says about me? And I told her, and she told me she believes me.
Oh, really?
Yes. She says she believes me because she says she's had some issues with him in regards to just her being a working woman, that he feels women shouldn't work, period. I didn't know he was that kind of guy.
I didn't either.
Yeah. And so she said, and she goes, she told me that she was going to get me an apology.
Oh, man.
That apology. That apology is not, I have seen him twice since then. Our kid is in the same classroom.
Yeah.
And I've seen him twice.
Well, you're right. You have a bone to pick with him, but you should do it with your husband. And,
yeah.
And in a way that, you know, it's not so aggressive.
Yeah.
Because you don't want. Your husband's going to take up for you.
Right.
You
know I saying? Don't. I want to talk to him about some of the things that I heard he said about me. I want to see if he actually said them, because what if they're lies?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Right.
What if he says, oh, I didn't say that? He could be lying too, but I give people an opportunity to be who right. they are mm-hmm. and say what really happened, and we can squash it, mm-hmm. we can move
like
past it, or
like
we
a,
can
like
have a problem.
Yeah.
Or we can have a problem. I'm cool with problems. I'm cool with those too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's what needs to happen. I feel like that really needs to happen in order for us to move on with me and Asia. Me and Asia now have a problem. You know, like it's
just a build up.
It's a build up.
And it's, you know, that communication wasn't there. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're too good of a person to.
I never thought anything bad about him. Yeah. Like, I didn't think he was a bad person. You know, I listened to him on the show. I didn't really think he was.
Right. And I don't have anything bad to say.
Yeah.
I mean, fisherman, you know, he's
and that's what we bonded on. I asked him several times, and now I know why he's never taken me fish. I love fishing. I fish all the time. And I asked him, well, this is the thing, he never took me out. And I used to, when I first started at the radio, and I'm thinking, oh, this is Crowder, like he played for the Dolphins, you know,
somebody might not come back.
But I didn't know he didn't like me. I found out as time went on that he wasn't really fucking with me. And I used to be like, what's up, when we go on the boat? And now I feel like an idiot, because I'm always asking him that, and now I'm finding out.
Bit, yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I've been nice to this motherfucker. Like, yeah. I've been asking him to take me out on his little boat and shit and go fishing. He's like, one day, and brushing me off. And now it's because he don't really fuck with me. And I just wish he would have been real enough to just say, I don't really fuck with you like that.
How do you think, you know him a little bit. How do you think, you know, when you approach him, do you think he's going to be, like, aggressive or blow you off?
I think he's going to react to the way I approach him. Like, he's going to be whatever energy I bring, that's what he's going to bring.
Yeah.
So I'm planning to bring a chill energy. Now, if it turns into some gangster shit, I'm with it. Yeah. You know, so I just want to see what it is. And I want my husband present, because my husband doesn't appreciate what he said either.
He should be.
You know?
And it should be a conversation between you and him.
Yes. And his wife should be there, my husband, and we can just sit. Yeah. And figure out if we can move past it, because our kids probably going to be in first grade together next year. They go to the same school.
Oh, God.
You know, they're in kindergarten together.
Yeah. And we're in the same circle. And it's
It just needs to happen. And I'm hoping that it's positive. But if it's not, I'm cool with that. Just be clear. I'm cool with problems.
I am so cool.
Because it's genuine. Yeah. It's real. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like fake. If we're going to be cool. Let's be cool, man. My nigga.
Yeah.
Let's have fun. But if we not, let's be respectful around each other. But we both know I don't fuck with. So we were talking about this CTE stuff, and I've been, you know, it's a passion of mine to just do more investigating and, just figure out ways that I can, you know, get the awareness out about some of the struggles of CTE and some of the issues that the players deal with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking about maybe, you know, trying to do some type of event or something soon.
I think that would be a fantastic idea. I mean, that's what better way to bring the attention to CTE than have a bunch of former athletes or current athletes as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, come together and talk about it and discuss it. And
yeah. And in a positive light, like awareness, not like, oh, we hate you for, you know, we hate the league because of all, no, just a positive thing, education about some of the ways that you can get treatment, some of the ways that you can prevent it, you know, proper tackling, like all these things. I have like a lot of things going on in my head and I want to put something together.
I think you got something and I'm more than willing to help.
Yes, you help. Can.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to have to brainstorm and figure some stuff out and get something going soon.
We'll talk about it.
For sure.
All right.
Cool.
I'm on your team. So my wife is friends with Asia, and you know, I know you have a little something with Channing. So, I mean, does that put in the conflict of, is that a
they're
conflict
really good
of
friends,
interest?
Like really, really good friends.
I mean, I don't know how good. I don't dive into her relationships like that, but I know they speak.
You know well, I mean, I think that you are like your energy. You're like your spirit is good. And I feel like that must mean your wife's spirit is good. Mm-hmm. So if she's friends with Asia, that must mean Asia's good too. You know, I feel like people that have good energy don't hang with bad energy.
Right. I feel that
you get rid of that. You know what I mean?
Too.
So, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a problem, but it just actually does make me want to meet your wife.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Makes me want to meet her and see, you know what I'm saying? What she's about. And it's no negative against Asia. I don't hate her. I just don't like some of the moves that she's making in the last few weeks. And just some of the behavior is a little off,
right?
It's not consistent
right.
with what I've seen in the past from Asia.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's something off about her, but I want to meet your wife. I would like to meet her maybe, you know, we can all hang out.
Yeah. I think she would love to meet you and she's spoken of you before. She doesn't really know you much, but you know, I'm sure she would love to meet you.
You sure? Because a lot of wives don't be liking me.
I'm positive.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
And plus, y'all are both Gemini. Yeah. So
I'm back.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, we're
so
back.
So you were saying Crowder what?
Yeah, he's probably had at least 40 concussions.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is not normal. That's not normal.
It's not.
And
you got to actually function. You actually have to remember your schedule.
You
have to do.
You have to.
And then you don't know if you have CTE until you're dead.
You don't know.
You can't find out if you have it until you're dead, and they do research on your brain.
Right, and you know, God rest his soul. You got Junior Seau, you know, and all the rest of the guys who have you know taken their own lives.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a guy that I grew up watching and was in awe of and loved and was amazed by.
Yeah,
and you know, he seemed like he had everything going, and you know, he was a legend and just had his, you know, went into the Hall of Fame, and now he's gone. You know, he took his own life. I mean, what would be the reason for someone who had one of the best careers at linebacker in the NFL history, in the league history, and now he's gone? So, I mean, we really got to start diving into this. I know they made the movie, but it's a real issue, and it's got to be talked about. And I believe, you know, people who bring it to the attention like you are the people who are going to make a stand and really, you know, put it out there for everybody to be educated and know what's going on.
Yes. One thing that I'll always try to correlate with CTE is also the spousal abuse that I witness often with friends as well as, you know, strangers. You know, my DMs on Instagram are filled with women that are wives and girlfriends that ask me for advice on some of the things that have taken place in their relationships and what they should do. And it's kind of sad because it's like, I see some of my friends, you know, married to some of these guys who are the most amazing men, who are very nice, who are very respectful. And then all of a sudden slaps the shit out of their wife.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, people are like, don't give them an excuse. Don't try to say it's CTE, but I'm forced to believe CTE plays a role in some of this behavior.
Right.
Because you're not seeing, like, people think like, oh, it's just athletes. They beat their wives. Well, why aren't basketball players beating their wives?
Right.
You know, why aren't baseball players beating their wives? It's a lot of football players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have to believe that CTE is somehow correlated to this physical aggression and not being able to control maybe your anger or an outburst, you know, or even if you're having a, like, you're married and you know you have disagreements, you have arguments, and when it goes too far, I almost want to know if CTE is a part of the reason for that, you know, getting physical, you know, with your woman or even your children. Yeah. You know, some of the guys are physically assaulting and abusing their children because of CTE. What do you, what is your opinion on that?
I think you are 100% correct on that. You know, you got to look at these situations and look at the other professional sports and do your research like you've obviously done and look and see like who has the highest rate of domestic violence and
besides cops, it's football players.
Football players, it, You crazy?
I ain't shit. I ain't shit. You're I ain't never girl. Gonna be shit.
I love it, but yeah, it's football players, and you know you got to look into it, and it is what it is, and you know if you're constantly having your head banging your head against somebody else. I mean, it's going to shake some things around in there, that, and you're going to start to act a little bit differently. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
It's just, it's science.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
And then you have these situations where you're getting these concussions and you don't want to get off the field. And then eventually you get off the field. Eventually this younger guy takes your spot. Yeah. You go home, you're angry. Your wife doesn't know what's wrong with you. You're mad. You smack her. Then you lose your job for real, for real.
It's just,
you see what I mean? Like, for real, for real. You lost your job.
And you know, damn near everything you've worked for.
And you know what's so funny? They fine you. No one ever gets therapy or treatment for domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Yeah. I mean,
why aren't they putting them in some type of system where it's like, you know what? Let's get you some counseling. Let's get you some therapy instead of taking all of your money.
That makes sense. I think we got something there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do. And because look at all the cases. You're automatically, you're kicked off the team.
Find hella money.
Your endorsements are taken away.
Lost your position. Someone else is starting over you.
Right. And that doesn't all condone over the news. Any. We're not sitting here condoning
absolutely not.
Violence at all. But, you know, there should be some sort of help in place or some sort of system, just like people go to AA.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Just like that. Or
everything.
Or
like there
who
should
are sexaholics.
Be.
You know, there's, you know, which I don't really get that one, but.
Right. That's a problem. Yeah. <That's> right.
But there should be something in place for
that. Right.
That doesn't make it okay, but give the person a chance
if
to
you
help
care
themselves
about
and
them,
get better.
Help
and help
them.
Right. And help their situation. Look at, you know, Ray Rice. You know, it's a perfect situation. You know, the guy made a mistake. I mean, it's a terrible.
She made a mistake. Also, there was two assaults there.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You know what I mean?
There's no way around it. It's terrible.
Yeah, terrible. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't be able to feed his children anymore.
Right.
Imagine if you worked at Costco, Subway, and you smack your wife. Does that mean you shouldn't have a job anymore?
Right.
Because
it's not our job to take his livelihood away.
Right.
Because not only did he assault his wife and you know, it was terrible and he lost his job. Now the wife suffers even more. The children suffer even more.
Yeah.
Because of a mistake that had really nothing to do with us at all.
Yeah.
Or anybody else.
Yeah.
It was between them two.
Yeah. Their own issue, their own situation. They both assaulted each other. I feel like the league did the wrong thing. They lied, first of all, and act like they didn't see that video. They saw the video. They just didn't want it to come out. And then when it came out, then they overreacted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're going to fine him $500,000? Yeah. I know some of my homegirls right now who, man, beat them up, and you didn't fine them $500,000. Yeah. You didn't even bring it up.
Right.
The teams keep that shit on the low sometimes, you know, and I'm just like, damn. And they don't know what to do. The team is pressuring them, saying things like, oh, you don't want to, you know, report this because then we're going to have to kick them off the team.
Yeah. Well, I think the league has, you know, we're so big. The league is so big that it's a platform to maybe put that out there. Put the help in place for people who, you know, can't control their anger.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Use
care.
That platform.
Actually care.
Use that platform exactly to, you know, do better or help people be better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
care.
Yeah, and that's it.
Care.
Yeah.
NBA, they always
NBA cares.
Yes, that league, the basketball league cares.
I see it all the time.
The football league doesn't care.
You know, put that in place. Yeah. It's got to be put in place. There's a lot of things that need to be worked on, and it's got to be talked about first, like we're doing together.
We have to have real nigga conversations and be honest, and that's what the league doesn't want to do.
Exactly.
Switch subjects.
Yes.
So.
Swang.
I can't sing. But you have a non-black wife.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out.
Yes.
That's quite popular in all sports.
Yeah.
Why? This is for my sisters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got to give
them
some.
We can talk about this.
We can talk about it.
Let's go.
Why do you think that why do you think black women have an issue with men like you? You are successful. You have climbed out of a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Most black people are raised in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of us.
Mm-hmm.
You climbed out. You're very successful. Black women are offended when they see you holding the hands of a white woman.
Yeah.
Can I call her white? Is that normal?
Yeah,
Italian? Non-black. I don't know what to call her.
Yeah.
But what is your opinion on that?
Okay, so first of all, love is love. Let's get real. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot of guys and people who, you know, can't respect, you know, a black man for being with a white woman or a black woman be with a white man or just any mixed relationship. You know, a lot of people still have problems with that. And even though it's 2017,
right.
You know, I'm from a town in Virginia where I wasn't allowed to have a girlfriend because there was nothing but. They were all white people there where I'm from.
And you weren't allowed to date those white girls.
I was not allowed.
Hands off.
Hands off.
Okay.
Now, that's real. Real
I
stuff.
Feel,
you know
no,
what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So, you know, I didn't have a girlfriend until, you know, I went to college. You know what I'm saying?
So you just liked white girls, you think? Liked everybody.
I liked everybody.
You liked them all.
Everybody, you know.
So why didn't you have a black girlfriend? Were you allowed? Well, this is not cute. Like, it was
the
slim pickings.
Yeah,
like,
it was slim pickings.
It was regular.
In my hometown. You
respect.
Know what I mean? Now, that's got nothing to do with my mentality of what I, you know, see.
But it's
beautiful.
What you prefer. It's your what you see, what gets you a boner.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep it real. It's about the boner.
Well, yeah, my wife does that. But, yeah, I mean, there's lots of beautiful women out there. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian. I mean, there's lots of beautiful people. I just so happened to be attracted to my wife when I first met her.
You met her.
You know what I'm saying?
And whatever color she was going to be.
Whatever it was, what was in the air was in the air that day. And that was who I wanted. And that's who I pursued. And that's who I have now. You know, I have five sisters, you know, black women are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Women in general are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think that just women in general should just embrace themselves and not really worry about what, you know, who I'm seeing or who I'm married to or who the next black guy's married to.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you're good. Fix yourself. Make sure everything's good with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then just don't be judgmental.
Yeah.
Just
life's going to happen for you. Your aura and your karma
it's
and all
happen.
Those things
it's gonna happen.
Are going to take
just
place.
Don't judge.
Right.
Don't
have
judge.
You have you ever had any experiences where you've been out and people have done any, like, tell me about some of those experiences.
Yeah, I mean, my wife gets the stares all the time, and it's not right. You know what I'm saying? It's not right. If my sister, you know, I got five sisters, two of them are married, the three other ones, if they were to end up with someone who was not black,
you wouldn't
why do
care.
I care? Why do I care? What reason would I have to care? As long as they're treated correctly and respected and taken care of, that's what matters.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's what matters in it every single day. Is if you're respected and taken care of and you're not beaten or abused or battered or physically or mentally abused, be happy.
And it
everybody's
be good.
Happiness. It's just happy.
I feel
just
like
be happy.
Like my husband is biracial, white, biracial, and people don't consider him white because I guess he plays football. And it's like, oh, he's black, and I'm like, damn, it's so weird to me how no one cares that I'm dating a majority white, a guy that's, you know, white just because he has black in him. I guess that's what makes it okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, yeah, yeah.
That's the mix.
Right, right. You know, it's a mentality. It's a mentality. How do we figure out and maneuver around this mentality that a person is a person?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're half this or half that, or this percentage of this and that percentage of that. A person is a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in today in America, you know, we need some help.
Yeah.
We need some help.
Education.
Some education.
And information.
Yeah.
That's what we really need.
It's key.
You know, I'm teaching my son. My son, you know, he's in kindergarten now. And, you know, he's going to school and he comes home and he's like, Mom, what am I? And I was like, what do you mean? You're 8. And he's like, well, people are saying I'm black and I don't think I'm black. Wow. And I was like, why? And he was like, because my skin isn't black. It's actually brown.
Yeah.
He's like, why do they call us black when we're not black?
Yeah.
You know, and I had to educate him. And he's like, some white people are not white. Why do we call them white?
Right.
You know, and it's so funny because
that's where it starts, right?
Yes.
That's the opportunity to educate your child.
Yeah.
And then take that mentality that, you know, because it starts
it doesn't
with the child.
Matter. Yeah. You're
can
an
fix
American.
It right there.
Yeah.
You can
I always try to tell him, you know, I crack jokes, you know, about being black. Like I tell him things like, you know, if you keep talking back, I'm going to be a black mom and smack you.
Yeah.
And he's always like, but you're not black. But now some of the stuff I'm doing, he goes, you know what? You are black. You real black.
Oh,
like
man.
He's now understand. He's starting to understand the jokes of like the black mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the black family. Like he's starting to get some of that and get the jokes of it. But I'm very happy that he understands that he is not black.
No.
That is just a word that people use to identify us because they are uneducated
right.
on what we truly are, which
Absolutely.
We're just American people.
Americans.
You know,
all
we really
together.
Are. All of us are Americans. When I go to France, you know, when I go to these other countries, people don't say you're black. They don't say that. They don't, a black person, they're like, I'm French.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're black.
Exactly.
They don't
but
say
you know,
I'm black.
There's a lack of compassion here, I feel, in America. You know, everybody is so, you know, hell-bent on, these are my rights. These are my rights. Yeah, you got rights. Everybody has rights. But mm-hmm. where's the compassion? Like, you know, I'm a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I can never feel what it feels to be a woman or a white male. Or an Asian male, or Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
or gay, or anything. You know what I'm saying? I can only speak
identify
on,
with
yeah.
who you are.
So, but I have compassion for everyone, and everybody, and everything.
Right.
And you know, like I said before, everything's just okay. It's okay for you know everyone who's not black to use the N-word. I don't even say it. I don't because I got kids and I don't use it in the house and you know
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make me less cool because I don't say it. It doesn't make me
no,
cooler
it doesn't.
Because I do say it. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
You just don't.
I
use
just
it.
Don't. I don't use it, and I've always been that way. It was just the way that I grew up. You know what I'm saying? But everyone thinks that they have, and it's mostly you know, I see it a lot down here with white people here and Hispanics and everybody wants to use the N-word like it's cool like.
Because it's become normalized. It's just a word now. It's a noun.
It is. It is.
It's a noun.
But you got to look at if it just like I said, educate yourself. Look, go back and look in the history books and look at the people, all the people who were killed, and had that spray painted or written or burned and had that word spray painted on them as they're probably sitting there burning. Like these people have died because of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Gay people, gay, homosexual. I mean, the same thing. I don't know what it feels like to be a gay person in America.
Right.
You know, a lot of gay people are ridiculed, and a lot of people who are heterosexual feel that they can use the F word. No,
mm-hmm.
you can't. Have some compassion. Have some compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all. That's what bothers me about people today. There's no compassion. Everybody's just so hell-bent on, these are my rights. I can say what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
First
I'm saying?
First Amendment.
Yeah.
What do you think about Colin Kaepernick not having a job because he's actually standing for something in a league that does not allow you to stand for shit that they not rolling with? Like, how, you know, the league, people don't want to discuss how the NFL, the league gets paid to do these patriotic tributes and these salutes to military. They're getting millions of dollars from the Department of Defense. But Colin Kaepernick is disrespecting the military. How? Isn't our own country disrespecting the military by being paid to do this?
Yeah.
By when ex-military veterans come home and there's no job for them,
right.
Where the suicide hotline number, they miss an average of like 20,000 calls a day. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't even pick up the phone. This is the suicide hotline for veterans. Yeah. They're homeless. I see them all over the place. Why do people, how come people can't see that he's actually standing up for the military and he's actually standing up for black people, and that's why he's not employed right now?
Well, you know, it's, I guess people look at it, you know, like two different ways, just like everything. But, you know, what he stands for, what he's standing for, what he believes in, I don't think his job should be taken away for that. You know, there are a lot of military out there that, you know,
support him.
Yeah, that support him. There's a lot of people who don't support him.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, you know, I always stood for the flag. But just because somebody beside me is not doing it, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, ridicule him for that. And mm-hmm. and the fact that, you know, he does not have a job is not right.
Right.
It's not right. Because he
all
is.
All these excuses of why he's not. Oh, well, you know, this guy's better at this. And they're like, get the fuck out of here, dog. Like, come on.
No. And that's what I'm saying. It's the compassion for the person. This man is, he's making a peaceful
stance
on what he believes in.
Injustice and violence. Yeah.
He's not asking anyone else to do what he's doing.
He's meeting with the team before. Right. When they come in on Saturdays, he's meeting with the entire team.
Right.
He don't have to do that.
Right.
He does not have to do that, but he does it. And he explains his role and what he's trying to do. You know what I'm saying? And he's just basically saying, I don't mean to disrespect any of you. Like, he's doing everything right. He's donating money.
Yeah.
He's doing all these things to back up his efforts. And then you hear a report, Colin Kaepernick isn't signed because he's vegan, and you can't play quarterback at vegan because then you can't throw because you need the chicken in your system to throw the long, the deep ball.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, there's just an extreme lack of education. You know it.
My husband is plant-based diet as well, and he's 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, what are people thinking? Yeah.
Wow.
We eat meat like once a week.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's like people are so stupid. It's so annoying. And that's why I get so angry sometimes, too, is because, like, you're talking to idiots.
Yeah.
And it's like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. You're reading something that another idiot wrote.
Correct.
I'm here with former running back of the league, Julius Jones. You played with the
Fighting Irish.
You played with the Fighting Irish. You played in Dallas. You played in Seattle. And you played in New Orleans.
Boom. That's right.
Great career.
Thank you very
running
much.
Running back.
Thank you.
Man, tough.
It's tough.
Tough. Running back. I told my husband if he
position.
Was ever a running back, I would have never dated him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have married him.
He's going on 12 years now?
Yeah.
That's why he's going on 12 years.
That's why. Because he's not a running back.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Well, I just want to thank you for coming on my show.
Yeah, thank
I
you
really,
for
really
me.
Appreciate it. It wasn't too rough.
No.
I wasn't crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
I kept my cuss words
crazy.
Down for you.
You said you're crazy.
People call me crazy all the time. No.
They got to come on the show.
They need
I
to
really
come on.
Feel you. Yeah.
And see that it's a good vibe. Yeah. You know, it's the energy. I feel like your energy, your vibe is good.
Absolutely.
Everything was great.
You are very good at what you do.
Thank you.
You really are. You
Thank
made me
you.
Very comfortable. I haven't been on the radio in a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
So you felt comfortable.
I felt comfortable.
See?
Yeah. Even though I had a rough night last night, you still made me comfortable.
I am going to be in recovery mode all
day. Oh, yeah. We just don't
day.
Snap back as soon as we used to. You
Speaking
know what
of
mean?
Snap, I got to show you my Snapchat
okay.
when we get off the air.
All right, cool.
For sure. Thank you for joining
Thank
me.
You
I appreciate
for
you.
Me. Thank you. Anytime.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
So, yeah, interesting episode. As I'm sure you guys probably know, that was recorded maybe 2 months ago, I want to say. And I saved it because, of course, I'm doing a reality show and I couldn't say it at the time. There's going to be a little pieces in there where I don't say like Falcons or Dolphins and I mess up a little bit because on a reality show, you can't say Dolphins or Falcons. You can only say the city like Miami or Atlanta. So just disregard all that. It'll make sense when the show fucking airs tonight on VH1 10/9 Central. Don't miss it, okay? But this episode was dope as hell. Shout out to Julius for joining me and kicking some real shit. Like, this was one of my favorite interviews. I enjoyed it so much. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions at all, you already know, hit me up on social media and I got you. But we back on it. Please don't think this means I'm not going to address the fuckery that has been taking place in the last 7 days in America. I just need to get this off. When I get back to Tampa, I will be recording another episode this week so that you can hear what a real one got to say. Peace. Ich stehe zu.